It is the Mike Show. It's the Wednesday edition. Yeah, I had to think about it for a second.
That's right.
Because we were off for a little bit. And thank you so much, by the way, for rescheduling to today. Mm-hmm. It was nice to get away, but it's nice to come back. And then you're rushing around and you know, kind of going crazy.
Good for you. I'm glad you got a break, Mike.
It was nice.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Thank mm-hmm. you. So we headed down to the beach. It was very impromptu. And Tab basically surprised me as much as she could, but said, hey, I want to do something special for you, but you're probably going to have to reschedule some things.
Oh.
And I went, all right, yeah, I'm down. So we did that. So thank you so much again for rescheduling to today. Wednesday edition with Megan Huffman from Cher Greater Lynchburg. Hi there.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello. Each and every Tuesday, well, today Wednesday, Megan brings us a guest. Today is no exception. Who did you bring?
Well, today we have Anna Dodge with us, of course, who is our summer intern, who you'll be seeing writing these wonderful stories up for our Thursday newsletter. So Anna's with us today.
Okay.
She's a rising freshman at James Madison University, so we're excited to have her with us this summer.
Awesome.
And our guest today is Betty Bybee, who is with Blue Ridge Conservation, and she's here to talk about the efforts of Blue Ridge Conservation in our community and how you can get involved as a homeowner and in this community of how to help our pollinators and our insects in our community.
All right, so we're going to talk about...
Not the bees.
We're going to talk about the bees because we want the bees. The bees are good. Well, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us. Tell us about your organization.
Well, our organization started at a group of people in the Lynchburg Garden Club and Hillside Garden Club. Read a book by Doug Talmey called Nature's Best Hope. And if you read that book, you will be changed in your thought process as to how we deal with nature and to garden with nature as opposed to spraying to get rid of nature. And so we decided as a group that we needed to inform the people in Lynchburg and the surrounding areas about this issue. So we formed Blue Ridge Conservation.
Very, very nice. One of the things that I love these days with preservation and conservation and the pollinator gardens that are popping up everywhere, and especially downtown. We live downtown. So when I'm taking my youngest daughter for a walk, and we're just walking around. It's so nice to see all of these areas that are bee friendly, all of these areas that are pollinator friendly, and you know, little kids, they tend to get afraid of bees. And we're walking past one, and my daughter, you know, she's shying away. I said, "They're just working. They're not going to mess with you.
Right.
They're just working. Look at how beautiful it is." And now she's really into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
It's wonderful. And the city has done a great job of bringing in native plants, which is the number one thing that you need to do for this. And native plants are beautiful, and you don't have to add fertilizer to them. They're used to the soil that's around what we have here, this hard clay soil that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great thing.
Well, tell us what the average homeowner should do if they'd like to have more native plants or a pollinator garden. Where do you get started?
Well, it sounds simple, but it can be a challenge because nurseries don't necessarily carry native plants. But that's how to start.
Yeah.
Is to plant native plants. And you want to attract pollinators to your garden, and you want to keep them there. So you need to have plants all throughout the three growing seasons.
Mm-hmm.
At least two plants, two blooming plants in the spring, two in the summer, two in the fall. And it would be nice to have at least two native trees. Now, it's pretty nice in Virginia because dogwood is a native.
Mm-hmm.
The white dogwood that blooms in the early spring. Redbud is another one. Everybody loves that. Those are natives. If you want to plant one tree in your garden, an oak tree would be the best. That is just feeds so many pollinators and is the host tree to a lot of wonderful insects.
Okay. Do you have an upcoming event?
We do not have an upcoming event, but we are asking that you look at your garden space in your home and become to certify your garden.
Okay.
Through our website, BlueRidgeConservation.com. And essentially, it will walk you through the six-step process of creating a pollinator garden. And it's like I said, at least two native trees, the two plants in each season. You also need to supply water because, like humans, bees need water as well, and pollinators need water.
Betty, will you all come out and do a site visit to help with that?
We will answer your questions first of all, and if it's an issue, yes, we can come out and help you with it. A lot of people have a pollinator garden, they just don't know it because they don't know the plant material.
Right.
I highly recommend just taking a picture of the plant, and you can either send it to us or look at your an app on your phone to see what it, and they're very good nowadays.
And I've noticed a trend with a lot of folks now, rather than having a perfectly manicured green lawn that looks like something that's been put down on a football field, more and more homes are going with these gardens, and they're absolutely beautiful. I think that's number one. It's much better for the environment. Number two, it's less mowing for me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And less maintenance. You don't have to water as much because it's a native plant. It's used to the environment that we're here. So it's a win-win situation. It's just kind of trying to change the mind of people that green grass with no weeds is a bad thing.
Yeah. So what's your sign there?
You
brought props.
Yes, this is the sign this cute little sign you can get for your garden if you certify your garden. And the other thing that I didn't mention is you need to promise that you will not use pesticides.
Yeah.
And that's scary for people because we've been kind of trained that, okay, if there's a bug that we've got to spray it. But not all bugs are bad, and that's what we have to kind of get over. And the other thing you need to do is supply shelter for these pollinators. And it can be as fancy as a bee house. You can put a bee house, or it could be as simple as just a bunch of sticks gathered up and put on the ground. I mean, for years and years and years, many, for millennium, that they've been finding shelter on their own. It's just we've been cleaning it up in our gardens.
Mm. Well, this is all very, very fascinating, and I've really enjoyed this discussion because I've seen this trend more and more now towards the pollinator gardens. I love what downtown has done. Mm-hmm. I love the bee scavenger hunt that you guys have, and it's just so cool. If you want to learn more, you can log on to sharegreaterlynchburg.org and look for Blue Ridge Conservation. It'll have all the links and all the information, even the links to the bees in the burg, educational scavenger hunt.
Yes.
It's so cool. I really, really love it. So, Megan, what's going on?
Well, we've promised that we had some exciting announcements coming up, and just last week, the Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation announced that our Century Fund recipient, our $100,000 annual grant, has been awarded to Roads to Recovery.
Wow!
And we're really thrilled about that. We're going to be having a press conference tomorrow at 10 a.m. on 5th Street at the facility, the Johnson Health, the old Johnson Health doctor's office is where they're revitalizing that for a treatment center. Mm-hmm. And the the funds are going to help assist in completing that and buying some furnishings for the space and assisting in the launch of that. So we're going to be having the press conference tomorrow at 10 a.m. inside that space. So please come out. The public is welcome to come, the media, obviously, to formally give the big check of $100,000 over to Roads to Recovery.
Wow.
So we're thrilled with that announcement.
This is a one time a year.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very transformative. And how many years now? How many recipients?
This was the fifth recipient,
wow.
And
that's
it's
tremendous.
Been wonderful to follow along in the ways that those dollars have been put to use over the years at James River Association, Lynchburg Grows, Camp Kumbaya, and the Free Clinic of Central Virginia. So
I'm
really excited about that. We also announcing today that our board approved the recommendation from the distribution committee to grant $575,000 to 79 local nonprofits.
Wow.
So each spring and fall, we grant the funds that are poured out of the endowed funds in our organization that we nurture, and out of that pours dollars that go back into the community. And so some are designated funds and some are undesignated, but
okay.
$575,000 will be distributed after today.
Tremendous.
So, mm-hmm.
And then talk briefly about the youth initiative that you have.
Yes. We have the Youth Philanthropy Council, where actually Anna has been part of. So I don't know if you want to say anything about that, but we take nominations and applications from around the region for students to be part of a Youth Philanthropy Council during the school year. So Anna did it last year.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You meet so many new people and you learn so much about like the grant process. And that's what really got me interested in nonprofits and what got me here today.
How many nonprofits did you do site visits for?
There were, I believe, five groups that did two site visits, mm-hmm. so 10 nonprofits in total.
Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the cycle of site visits and evaluation and presentations, you grant two organizations, mm-hmm. and so you all did a $10,000 and a $5,000. Who were the recipients?
I believe it was Roads to Recovery mm-hmm. that was the $10,000 one, and then my organization that I had, Kids Haven, was the $5,000 one.
Yeah, that's
great. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm. That's tremendous, and it's such an important learning experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
You get to learn that just the process of philanthropy, you get to learn. That's just tremendous.
Well, our goal at the foundation is that Share Greater Lynchburg is really a funnel or an aggregate for creating philanthropy, as young as children providing dog food to the Humane Society, yeah. or a family starting a pollinator garden. And when you start to think about philanthropy in different ways as a community, then the youth are getting involved in the Youth Philanthropy Council, and then that just leads to understanding the benefit of a community foundation, where we're all working together to bring our resources together to create benefit for nonprofits and become legacy. We're always looking for legacy families who want to get involved and be able to provide some of their legacy to the foundation, so that the community can benefit forever.
Yeah, it's never too early,
right.
To get started. And I know that your kids were involved with delivering Meals on Wheels.
Yes,
mm-hmm. for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And it's just it's never too early to get involved. So
right.
Bring the kiddos out. There are plenty of volunteer opportunities as well. You can find them on Share Greater Lynchburg. If you go to sharegreaterlynchburg.org, 176 nonprofit organizations that are on the platform. And if you are part of a nonprofit organization and you're not on the platform yet, why? What? Get on it. You need to get on it. It's absolutely free. And Megan and the entire crew over there can get you signed up, get you started, and get you on the platform. Volunteer opportunities, even board-level volunteer mm-hmm. opportunities, plus all kinds of lunch and learns and all kinds of ways that you can connect and network with like-minded people. So,
one thing is that nonprofits don't take the summer off. I know that a lot of folks scatter over the summer, but there's still a great amount of volunteer needs. I know there's food pantry needs. There's, like you said, Meals on Wheels needs, deliveries. There's certainly organizations that need help with youth camps over the summer. Mm-hmm. I know that Jubilee has a great need for. They have a full house of students that they're nurturing every summer, and they need mentors. And so there, all those opportunities should be available up at Share.
Absolutely. Visit sharegreaterlynchburg.org for more information. Folks, thank you so much. Thanks for rescheduling, and thanks for joining us today. It is The Mike Show. It's the Wednesday edition. Coming up a little bit later on, we've got your audio vault. Stay tuned.